there, David, that was awesome. I like that last part, especially. I like the add-on, the God, you're so good. And I like when you do the slowing down part, because I get to hear the women behind me singing. I don't hear any men. It's probably a good thing, unless it's Mr. Hardy. Most of us can't sing as good. It's just good to hear those women in there. You know, I you know my affinity for sports. I try not to relate everything to sports, but they have so many good teaching points in life. And I've told you I'm not the best coach in the world because, you know, especially Little League, I don't really like practicing. But what I do love with young people is developing. I love to watch them develop. I love to work with them on skill development and stuff like that. I like to see players grow. And if I'm not talking long-term potential, but if you can give me a few minutes or a game or two with a kid in basketball, I can tell you pretty quick if they're at that point a basketball player or not. Does it mean they're not an athlete? I mean, because you see that in college, and even some of them are so good at the professional ranks that they can make it to the NBA on being an athlete. Does it mean they're a basketball player, though? A lot of that can be by their shot. You can watch a kid shoot and be like, whoa. They really need to go to a shot doctor because their shot's so bad. And so when you watch that, you think there's some things that you need to work on, because there is a big difference in basketball players and just athletes. For instance, the little guard that Auburn has right now, Harper, is a basketball player. Now, if you just look at him, he wouldn't be one of the first ones you'd pick because he's small. But he can shoot and he can play basketball. I don't know how I'm digressing to this, but Alabama doesn't have a lot of basketball players. We got some athletes, but we have nobody on that kid's level who can play basketball. And so there's a big difference. I say that to say this, and I don't mean this in a braggadocious way at all, because first of all, it's not anything really great, but I really can look at somebody in a few minutes and say, that kid's a basketball player. As disciples, as believers, as followers of Jesus, people really ought to be able to look at us and go, that guy's a follower of Jesus, or she's a follower of Jesus. Why? Because of how we live. Now, does that mean we're not going to make mistakes? No. I'll just use him again, the guard, Harper at Auburn. He's had bad games. Doesn't mean he's not a good basketball player. We're going to have off days, okay? You're going to have days where you know you make mistakes. You're going to have times where you make mistakes. But overall, people ought to be able to look at us by our actions and go, that person's a disciple. They're a follower of Jesus Christ. At least other believers ought to be able to see that. That's what we're looking at now. We looked at the first 4 weeks of this long study of discipleship, and it was, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Definition, can you be a follower and not a disciple? All those things we looked at. And so for the next few weeks, we're looking at this. What does a disciple look like? In other words, what, and we'll get into that in the next study, is what does a disciple do? But this, from, you know, when we're looking at discipleship, what does a disciple look like? From somebody, if I'm sitting in a chair here and observing, you know, some of you go to airports for people watching and all those things, or fairs, or, you know, wherever. Gatlinburg's a great people watching place. If you just sit there and watch people, you ought to be able to, in life, if you just had your recliner kicked back, ought to be able to see that, hey, they're a disciple because of the things we do. But again, it's not because of works. It's because Jesus lives in us and he's coming out. So one of the things that people ought to be able to see is that, and it's a word we don't use much, is abiding in Jesus Christ. Now, some translations use the word remain. That you remain in Jesus Christ. You abide in Jesus Christ. And so prove to be my disciples. That's what we're going to look at today. And Jesus uses another parable, another way for us to understand it. It may not make as much sense to you today, but we'll try to make it make sense, because, again, Jesus lived in a Eastern world and also lived thousands of years ago, but it's still even prevalent to Israel today. John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. By the way, this is the last of the seven I am statements that Jesus had given the book of John. I am the good shepherd. I am. And so we get all of these. I am the true vine. You already are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. By the way, a lot of good doctrine in this story here. And we don't have time to unpack all of it today because it's not what we're looking at. But this is a perfect example. Jesus goes back to the washing of the feet where he says, you're already clean. Remember when he told Peter that? He said, if you're clean, you don't need a bath. You just need to clean your feet. And so what is he talking about there? If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ once, you're his forever. You don't lose your salvation. And so Jesus said, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Now, again, this NIV is using the word remain here. Abide is just a word, to be honest, I used to grab your attention because we don't use it much. NASB uses abide, which is a more literal translation than this one. So that would be closer to the rendering of it. But we don't use that word abide much. Anymore. But remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, great theology there. If a man remains in me and I in him, Jesus said, I will remain in you. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And I told you too much, Catfish, but that's where we will stop today. Now, you have to get the picture of this. Again, they still do live in a different part of the world. Grapevines were a very big part of not only were their agrarian society, but in their everyday life. They used them for drink. They used them, you know, for other things. And some of you today, you know, eat grape jelly. Some of you probably drink grape wine. Shame on you. We're not Methodists. I'm just kidding, all right? Had a conversation with that the other day about a Methodist. They were joking around. Like, you know, you Baptists, you know. And anyway, we won't get into that. But there are still the uses for that, for the grape wine, for grape juice, for many other things, grape juice. And what happens is Jesus is painting a picture here that these grapevines, and here's a good picture for us, without human interaction, the grapevines become very messy. In fact, they become bushes, and they're not very useful at that point. It's a great picture for us because Jesus is using it. Without interaction from Jesus, we become very messy. In other words, the vine has to be pruned. We got to be pruned. And we'll get into that in a moment. But there's this picture that Jesus is painting for them. And you understand that when a vine starts, first of all, it takes about 3 years before it is allowed to even produce fruit. There's this maturation process. Now, I'm not telling you that as a believer, when you trust in Jesus Christ, that, hey, you wait 3 years before you start telling people about Jesus. But what I'm telling you is sometimes it takes a while for us to start producing fruit, to understand what Jesus has called us to. In fact, Paul even said, don't lay hands on somebody too early from a ministerial standpoint. So there's this maturation process that Jesus is showing us here too with this. But the point is this, that the vine, and he starts right here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, for us, if you picture vines, and Lori's always had vines wherever we go, there's Jackson vines, there's this other vine I couldn't pronounce that we had at our house in Hartsel, and what vines do is they creep or they trail, or they crawl, whatever you want to do. A vine, if you don't have anything, it won't really go out. Now, the grapevine's a little bit different, but the vines we use now, they'll crawl on fences, they'll crawl up trellises, all these things. There needs to be something. But the point is, they have to be connected to the branch, or they're no good. Now, I could bring, some of you would use probably a tree analogy a lot better. We had pecan trees at our two houses on Johnson Chapel Road in Danville, and we had pecan trees at both. I could bring you the branch in here. It would look something like this. I don't want to break it. But if you have the branch, but it's not connected to the root, it's not going to produce any pecans. Same thing with an apple tree or an orange tree or a lemon tree, whatever it is. If it's not connected, it's not going to produce any fruit. That's the point of this story that Jesus is telling us. If we don't stay connected to Him, we're not going to bear any fruit. And so that's the point of it. So there are five things I want us to look at. It'll go quickly, but look at this. First of all, He says, you cannot bear fruit unless you abide in the vine. And that's what He says. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. This is going to work progressively, okay? You're going to see it all go together. We cannot bear fruit. What is fruit? There are a couple different ways that we look at fruit as Christians. First of all, we have the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All those things should be coming out of Christians. Ask yourself this week, has that been coming out of you? Have people, if they've got the chair like we talked about earlier, and they're sitting down and they're watching you at work, are people seeing love come out of you? And you're like, oh, I may be in trouble on that one. Are people seeing patience come out of you? Is your wife and children seeing patience in your life? This hits home to a heart of a lot of men. Gentleness, self-control. Do your viewing habits on the media, whether it's Netflix or your home, do you practice self-control on the internet? What are you putting in front of your eyes? Because what goes through your eyes goes to your brain. Your brain is a computer. It's hardware. When you get something on there, it doesn't automatically delete. So what are you practicing self-control? Those are fruits of the Spirit. Then there's another way we look at fruit, and that is leading other people to Jesus Christ. Do you know on a vine, when it produces grapes, most grapes, I don't know how they grow grapes without seeds, but they make them. Somebody makes them because I've eaten them before. They're a lot easier to eat, to be honest. But most of these grapes have seeds. The seeds fall. The seeds are what reproduce. If you've been to a funeral before, you've seen Dad use that illustration with the seed. It has life in it. These seeds are what bring about more grapes. As disciples, we not only have fruits of the Spirit, but we should be having more fruit. In other words, we ought to be leading people to Jesus Christ. How? We cannot do that unless we abide in the vine. You know, if you've told people about Jesus before, you did a lot of praying because you're scared to death when you do it. And you look for every reason in the world not to do it. And you're like, Lord, maybe this ain't the time today. And then the time comes. You're like, Lord, this probably ain't the time today. And it's just, we're too busy. And then finally, you're doing a lot of praying. If you're sharing the gospel, you're connected. You're abiding, because we don't do it when we're not. And then the next thing is, I want you to look at, Jesus says this, whoever does not abide is thrown away. Now, this is a tough verse. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Verse 4, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. What does Jesus mean by this? There's one thing we can rule out if we go back to the beginning. There is no such thing. I don't know if that's proper grammar, Haley. You have to get me later. There isn't anything. Let me just move on, all right? The Bible doesn't say this. if you put your faith in Jesus, that you can lose your salvation. I know some people believe that, but it's just not in here. Okay? When you trust in Jesus, you are adopted and you're His forever. Okay? Jesus says that over here. Look, you're already clean. I don't have to worry about it. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken. So we can rule that out. It's not that, hey, I once was saved. I once trusted in Jesus. But if I didn't remain in Him, if I sinned, if I fell away, does that mean I'm going to hell? That's not what it's talking about. So it can be two other explanations. And I've heard people say it's both. And I've heard people say it's one. It could be this, that it is Christians, carnal Christians, possibly like Lot, who just honestly have no work. And the Bible says that all those works are like wood, hay, and straw, and they'll be burned up. In other words, you're doing nothing for Christ. Now, that's nothing we should ever brag about and go, that's me. I'm that Christian that doesn't do anything. That's not, again, there should be some desire to abide in Jesus Christ. But Jesus is serving this as a warning to us and saying, if that's not you, guess what? You need to get something done about that. Remember, vines are messy. All the mess in our lives, all the things that are not pointing to Jesus, the vine dresser takes and he prunes back. There is this pruning season. In fact, the reason the vines aren't allowed to produce fruit for the first 3 years is because the technical reason is because they were pruned back. Because they wanted to produce better fruit. So the vine dresser would prune them back. And that's what Jesus does in our lives. You see, when he takes something out of our lives we don't need, maybe you're watching something you need to be watching, Jesus says, let's prune that out. Maybe you're acting a way you shouldn't be acting. Jesus says, let's prune that out. Let's get these things out of our life. If you do not abide, you're thrown away. Now, the other one that's very glaring here on this is these are false disciples. These are people who think they're followers of Jesus. And I've had people tell me this, there's no such thing. What was Judas? Judas was a false disciple. Judas obviously wasn't a believer in Jesus, but outwardly, he was like the rest of us. You know what's interesting about Judas, and I'm sure some of you have thought about this, is that the disciples didn't even know. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they started going, who is it? Think about that. That means there's people in this church who aren't believers. And we don't know it because Judas lived just as good as they did on the surface probably. But his motives were not right. His heart was not pure. So when we look at people, we can go, hey, man, they look like they're doing it the right way. But no, our motives aren't right. We're not abiding in Christ. So Jesus says, if you do not abide in me, then in the end, everything's going to be burned up. What that means is this. If you're not a true believer in Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell. And I know we don't talk about that enough in a lot of times today. Not just this church, but every church. But the Bible is very clear on that. Jesus is very clear that one day we stand before a holy God and we give an account on what we did with Jesus. If we do not put our trust in Him, then we spend an eternity, the rest of everything, in hell, in utter torment, suffering. And that's what Jesus, and the fire is always symbolic of that. But then it progresses a little further. We can't bear fruit unless we abide. Whoever does not abide is thrown away. So we say, okay, we can't bear fruit unless we abide in Jesus. If we don't abide, we're thrown away. But then it starts getting a little more positive. It says, if you abide, you ask whatever you want. Now, verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my... I'm sorry, I went to the wrong verse. Go back to verse 7. Said that wrong. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. So if you abide, if you truly abide, not only will you produce fruit, but then you have this amazing ability, opportunity to ask Jesus whatever you want in His name. Again, we went over this. All right, Lord, I'm reading your Bible. Can you pay off my house? That's not what He's talking about, okay? Lord, can you just come up with a way for my kids to go to college? All right? That's not what we're talking about. If you abide in Him, you ask whatever you want in His name. Here's the kicker to this. Here's the not even funny part, but the way it works every time in my life and everybody's life. If we are abiding in Christ, because look, there's periods in my life where I'm not abiding the way I need to, but then there are periods where I am. If we're abiding, it's funny how our prayer life changes. We actually want stuff that aligns with God's will. We're not worried about making money. We're not worried about where we're going on vacation. We're not worried about, because I'm not saying they're wrong, all those things take care of themselves. But when we are abiding, we notice we start praying for lost people more. We start praying for opportunities. We start praying to be a better husband. We start praying to be better at our work so people can see Jesus in us. And when we ask for that, I've never once had God say, you know what? No, you don't need to share the gospel. I'm not going to open up a door for you to share the gospel this week. No, I don't want you to be patient with your kids. I don't. I'd rather you call them idiots all the time and blow up and threaten to whip them and take stuff from them and do all. I'd rather you do that. That's a better example for you as a pastor and as a father and as a Christian. I'd rather you act like that. That's not how it works. If we abide in Him and we ask whatever we want, we have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and then we'll get it. Now you say, well, whatever. I've prayed some superficial prayers thinking I was in the Spirit. Oh Lord, save 10 people this morning. And then I go back and think, oh, that's me wanting to see stuff. But, you know, when we even talk about that, it's aligning our prayers with what God wants. But then there's another progression. When we do abide, we prove to be His disciples. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we bear fruit, we prove to be His disciples. Isn't that amazing? We live out Galatians 5:22. We see all the fruits of the Spirit. We lead people to Christ. You know how we know that you're a believer if you're leading other people to Christ? Because it takes work. Non-believers aren't going to do that. They're not going to take the time to pray for lost people. They're not going to take the time to disciple people. They're not going to take the time to be focused on people coming to Christ. They might invite somebody to church, but they're not going to take the time to do all that. If you bear fruit, you prove to be my disciples. It's like I was talking about a basketball player. There are certain things when they do that, I'm like, that kid can play basketball. Certain things they can't do, I'm like, he may be a good athlete, but he can't play basketball. Or he can contribute, but he's not a basketball player. It's funny when we look at it. Some children you can look at right now and go, oh, I know his dad because he looks just like him. And, you know, and I'm sure. And then sometimes by our traits, you know, we can be identified. One of the Bailey traits is we're probably not the tidiest people in the world. Okay. I like to think I'm tidier than dad and my son, but I'm probably somewhere in the middle of that. And so we're scatterbrained, and we're probably not the best money managers in the world. So when you do that, when you look at that, you go, oh, he's a Bailey. He acts just like his dad, and he acts just like his dad, and he acts just like that. When we abide with Jesus, we prove to be His disciples because we are acting like Jesus. We have the heart like Jesus. We have a love for missions. We have a love to see people come to know Christ. And so the question is, and here's the fifth one, how do we do this? Look at what Jesus says. As the Father's loved me, in verse 9, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. So how do we do it? Jesus says we do it by keeping His commands. You say, well, that gets into legalism, that gets into works. No, it doesn't. And here's why. What did Jesus tell us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. That's the greatest commandment. If you're just loving God, that has nothing to do with legalism. Love your neighbor as yourself. True love, that has nothing to do with legalism. That's not, and I'll explain it in a minute. Great Commission has nothing to do with legalism. In your going, make disciples. It doesn't say go. It says in your going. Going can be legalistic. Going can be works. in your going. That means as you go to work, as you go on mission trips, as you go on vacation, as you go to the ball field, make disciples. The commands make disciples. So Jesus said, make disciples, love other people, love God with all your heart, be my witnesses. You see, those things are all heart issues. And if the heart's right, it can't be legalism. Now we can do the results. We can do the going and be wrong. We can go on mission trips with our heart totally wrong. That's the going. But Jesus didn't say go. He said make disciples. That's the command. Remember, the going is the imperative. In your going, make disciples. As you go, be my witnesses. If we're being Jesus' witness, that's a heart issue. All these are heart issues. So what Jesus says, how do we abide? We abide by keeping his commandments. There's a progression to all of this. We abide by loving him with everything we have. And then all this other stuff takes care of itself. We don't have to worry about it being burned up. We don't have to worry about not providing fruit. We don't have to worry about all the things that come with this. We don't have to worry about not abiding. We don't have to worry about not asking because we're abiding in him. And that's the point that Jesus makes. Now, the tough thing is, how do we do this? Even what Jesus said, we do it by keeping his commandments. This is about abiding in him, remaining in him every day. This is how we do it. That when we remain in him, when we stay in his word, when we pray, when we push away the flesh, that's how we remain in him. Some of you know, and some of you probably don't. I don't know if I've talked about this much, but for Christmas, Lori and the children got a dog. It abides in my house. I don't hate animals, as a lot of people think, but now I'm not warm and fuzzy with them either. We got an English bulldog, much like Jason and Mandy, so Mandy's our expert. We call her for help on stuff, and so we decided we're going to start walking the dog because this dog is off the chains ADHD. I mean, it needs medicine for hyperness. And they're like, well, you got to tire the dog out. I'm like, okay. And so first time Josie tries to walk it with a collar and it looked like an old style hanging. I mean, that dog, I'm like, okay. So Manny says, no, you got to get the harness, put the harness on it, and then you strap the thing to it. And so Mandy was showing us how to walk it last week. And you don't let the dog lead. You lead the dog. Okay, so you have to be in front. And you got to kind of, I guess, show the dog who's boss. And I've told y'all this, I think, that, and I know that, you know, I looked it up, and Mandy told me some of this stuff too, that bulldogs are very low on intelligence, but they're very high on stubbornness. That's not a good combination, okay? That sounds like a middle linebacker, and it makes good for that. No offense, middle linebackers. That's what makes you good. I'm just kidding. It is the stubbornness that makes you good. I'm just picking about the intelligence part. But it's not a good combination for a dog. So Friday, when everybody's at school, I'm thinking, I'll try to do my part and walk this dog. And so I've got it on this leash. And for all you people that are like older or my age or older, it's not that big anymore. It's weird. Used to when Lori and I went home on Sunday night as newlyweds, we were very romantic. We went home and watched PBR every Sunday night, bull riding. We loved it. And I always rooted for the bull. It was weird. I don't know why I did that. But I remember watching these bulls, and there was like all these names. I used to know them all. And there was a bull named Yellow Jacket. And for those of you who ever watched it, remember that. I started walking this dog Friday, and this dog looked like the bull Yellow Jacket. It was flipping and flopping and going on its back. And then it would roll and then try to get to the pond and try to get to the ditches. And then when I would stop it, you know, the dog would stop for a minute, but anytime I got in the lead and started pulling it here, and it would buck and flip. But then I noticed this weird phenomenon. I was like, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm just trying to tire you out, and I'm doing a pretty good job. If you just want to walk, walk. So I got behind the dog. I was like, go ahead. Well, it quit bucking. It started just walking on its own. Just prancing down the road now, looking around when it wanted to stop and smell a beer can. A lot of littering in Lawrence County, by the way. A lot of beer cans. It stopped and smelled the beer can, and it would go on down, and it would smell another can. By the way, diet drinkers don't litter much. I don't know what it is. You don't see many diet drinks on the road. Seriously, a lot of beer. I know they're probably up running from the cops. And then a lot of regular sodas. But you don't, I mean, it's terrible. If you don't believe me, come over and I'll show you. No, you don't see many diet drinks. So he's sniffing all these things, and then it'll walk some more. And then I'd gotten tired. I was like, you know, I've been out here long enough. The wind's blowing. I'm ready to go home. So I start pulling the dog again. Here we go into our yellow jacket routine. It's flipping and flopping. And I'm like, look, dog, I got to get home. I've been out here too long. And so I had to literally drag the dog back. And it's flailing like on the asphalt and going down and all this stuff. And I'm like, we're getting back. And so I'm thinking about that this weekend. And I thought, you know what? That is, it is so human nature that it's not even funny. And Jesus literally says this, and it's a little bit different. I know no analogy is perfect, but Jesus said it's not, you know, this is kind of like abiding. He says, if you let me have the lead, everything's a lot smoother, okay? If you abide in me, if you do what I say, if you put your money where I tell you to, if you put your time where I tell you to, if you tell people about me like I tell you to, everything's a lot smoother. But here's what we do. We flip and flop like the dog and the bull. Why? Because we want to be in the lead. We want to do what we want to do. To be funny for just another second, we want to go down and smell the beer can or smell the Diet Coke or I think there was a pack of donuts somebody thrown in. We want to smell all that stuff. And we're not concerned whether we're on Jesus' timetable or not. That dog had no care whether I need to get back and study from my sermon. What she didn't know is she was helping my sermon illustration, and I didn't know it at the time. But that dog wasn't concerned with my time. The dog was like, I want to do what I want to do. And we flip and we flop and we do all this stuff. And here's the funny thing. And we're done. My plan was to walk like 2 miles with this dog and wear it out. If you know, and Lisa knows because she's been over there with the mail, I think. If you know where we live and you come out and turn right, I didn't even make it to the stop sign, which is about 200 yards. But that dog was so wore down that she come back and slept for like 4 hours. Why? Because she fought like crazy to get her way over mine. And you see, that's what we do. We flop and we flip and we get back on our back and kick just like the dog. We do all those things. Whereas if we would honestly just abide in Jesus, remain in Him, let Him take the lead, it won't wear us out as much. And so that's the point of all this. And to be honest, if somebody would have driven down the road and saw that, they would have thought, that guy has no clue what he's doing with that dog. And they'd be right. And when people see us doing that and flopping and failing and rebelling against Jesus, they're like, thought he was a Christian. Thought she was a Christian. They don't act like it. And so Jesus says, if you just remain in me, you'll prove to be my disciples. You can ask whatever you want. You're going to bear fruit. And how do we do it? We do it by just loving him with everything we have and then letting go and letting him be in control. Would you stand, please? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Just for a second, here's what I want to say. I talked a moment ago to you about this. That about being clean. Jesus said, if you're clean, you don't need a bath. Don't worry about all that. My words have made you clean. In other words, if you're here today and you trusted in Jesus, you can go ahead and pray for a second. But this is what I want to say. If you're here today and you've never put your trust in Jesus, you've never cried out to him, you've never said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Will you save me? Then I want you to get that right today. I beg you to get that right. I know it can be confusing. I know you can think, well, I don't know if I've done that. I think I did that at Bible school. I think I did that one time. Here's what I say. Don't be confused on that. Come forward. I'll be glad to talk with you. I'll get you with someone else. If you're a female, we've got female staff members in here that'll be glad to talk to you. I want you to get that right. If you're here today and you are a child of God, I don't know where you're at. I very rarely know where anybody's at spiritually. You know where you're at. And here's my prayer, that you get where you need to be, that you abide in Christ. Because to be honest, many of us, myself included, aren't producing a lot of fruit at this point in our lives. And we prove to be his disciples when we abide in him. What does a disciple look like? A disciple looks like someone who abides in Christ. Not your own flesh, not your own will, but Christ's will. As always, the altar's open. If you want to come and pray on the altar, if not, you pray where you're at. As God leads, you follow him this morning.